And that you may want to consider that maybe those savings are significant, even if you have to take out the cost of what that's going to take you to be able to make the ingredient, to be able to use the ingredient, to be able to rotate, to flow, and to clean that bean into your meal. So being open, being receptive to the opportunity is the most important, I think, is one of the things that will help you to be able to identify opportunities that will help you also to maintain a competitive business.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Kemin invites you to optimize animal feed quality and safety with our portfolio of solutions. Learn more at kemin.com/AG. Evonik, we are sciencing the global food challenge.
Welcome to the Feed Science Podcast, coming from North Carolina State University and the Prestige Department of Poultry Science and the Animal Food Manufacturing Program here. My name is Adam Fahrenholz. On behalf of Wise Genetics, thanks for joining the podcast and listening or watching on YouTube. We always appreciate you guys joining us. Our guest today is a returning guest. I think this is time number three. It is Cesar Menendez. Cesar is the Feed Manufacturing and Bakery Operations Director for Smithfield Hog Production. Cesar, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you, Adam, again for the opportunity. Glad to be here and glad, you know, for the third time and and looking forward for a very good conversation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So I think what we talked a little bit offline, what we'd like to talk about, and I think we kind of centered on something I think that should be interesting to a lot of folks, kind of no matter where they exist, kind of in our ecosystem. And that's the idea of what happens when pricing goes haywire, whether that be on ingredients or it be on parts. And no matter why it happened, sometimes it's supply and demand, and sometimes it's trade, and sometimes there was a, you know, natural disaster somewhere that made it impossible to get something. We've had a pandemic and on and on and on. So we know in the feed mill, there's a couple ways this could be affected. And I think we'll start on the ingredient side. Can you talk a little bit about when there's a pressure on an ingredient from a price perspective, and it could be a major, minor, micro, whatever it is, but there's a pressure on an ingredient, what happens from a purchasing side? And then how does some of that trickle down to the feed mill and the decisions the feed mill ends up having to make based on whatever is happening from purchasing to try to deal with that particular pressure?
Yeah, absolutely, Adam. I think that's a good way to start. And it's the topic of the moment, right, that everybody's facing with the multiple tariffs and those trade issues that are coming up in the last few days. So I think it's a very good point to start the conversation. Adam, as you stated, in the feed manufacturing business, is as the natural where we at, we have to be able to adapt and understand depend the area where we at, what is the ingredients in the cost, in the multiple options that we have to manufacture the feed. But the most important is to not just to manufacture and have a quality feed, also to have a very competitive feed, right? So we can maintain a very competitive business always. That to please always look into the different alternatives, the options that they can be available in the area where they operate. And also, I think the most important is that corn kind of dictates and is the base of where of what you should do when it comes to formulating. So always in my point is that the nutrition team, the procurement team should always have a constant ongoing communication back and forth, depending on where is what things are available, what is not available, what options they may have to be able to adapt. So I always encourage that anybody when asked that question is that look into what other options you may have to be able to lower your cost of corn. You maybe have a plant right around the corner that makes bakery meals. You may have a distillery plant that is also closer to you that may offer a competitive price to be able to help you to maintain a competitive cost. So my main thing is always is be open to the challenges and opportunities. People always see the always concern on the female manager is that, okay, if I got to get DDGs now, well, DDGs in the past has been a problem for me. They hang up terrible in the beans. It creates an issue for me, and I don't want to handle it. Well, what you don't know it is that that maybe will bring some important savings into your feeding, into your operation, and that you may want to consider that maybe those savings are significant, even if you have to take out the cost of what that's going to take you to be able to make the ingredient to be able to use the ingredient, to be able to rotate, to flow, and to clean that being into your meal. So being open, being receptive to the opportunities, the most important, I think, is one of the things that will help you to be able to identify opportunities that will help you also to maintain a competitive business as opposed to the corn. That is probably one of the main things I think, Adam, that always plays a negative factor when it comes to using other options or alternatives to lower costs. Just the mentality of, because something happened in the past, I don't want to do it anymore. And because you don't want to do it anymore, that just creates a bad situation in a bad mentality, in a bad reputation, I guess. And it just doesn't play well, especially in types of environments like we are living today.
Yeah, absolutely. How does the ability of maybe having gone through those things in the past, right? And so like you said, you know, we've gone through in the past, I don't want to do it again. And as you just said, that's not necessarily a great mentality, because there may be really good reasons, or you may not have a choice, just may have to do it anyway. There might not be an option. Again, it may be because a price is an issue, or it may be flat just this doesn't exist in enough of an inventory right now for us to get it. Where does like planning play a role in this, such that when these price pressures come into play, that we already have an idea of what we're going to do when something like this happens?
Yeah, so good question. So one of the things, Adam, I think is very important, most especially big organizations, they will contract things ahead of time for a period of time, sometimes for a month ahead or month and a half or for the first quarter. In some cases, that, of course, it's one of the best things to be able to control and manage costs, because it gives you some time to react. But I always encourage teams that you want to review your prices. You want to understand your prices at least on a weekly basis. You want to sit down with your procurement team. You want to sit down with your nutrition team to be able to evaluate, review what things are impacting, how things have changed from one week to the other one, and how soon you can react to those changes with other options that may be available in the market or in the area where you operate. That is primarily probably the main thing, Adam. And then you look into like I was explaining to you, options. What are the things I can find around it that I can utilize for to take up into this challenge that is maybe coming up in 2 weeks or in a month from now, after I finish this contract, or after this supplier will make me to change this contract. Those are the probably most important, Adam, that I can think about it right now as far as that, on that perspective for ingredients. Hopefully that helps to make some sense.
No, I think that makes all the sense in the world. It's like things that we talk about from a manufacturing perspective. If we want to improve it, we have to measure it. We have to have the data. And the same thing's true with our ingredients. If we don't know, you know, what our current prices are and what our options are kind of already on the table, we're not going to be in the best possible position to make a change when we need to. The more we already know, the better off we'll be.
And one point there, Adam, that just came to my mind is that, again, in you as a film manager where the area you operate, you want to understand what sources or what type of ingredients are immediately or closely available to your location, and also maintain an ongoing pricing and review it as much as possible as you can, weekly basis, whatever it makes most sense. But in my opinion, at least on a weekly, especially depending on the site, you want to understand that what it is, what things have changed, and adjust accordingly for that to be able to mitigate and reduce risk as much as possible.
Makes all the sense in the world. All right, so let's shift gears a little bit. Let's have a similar conversation, but take it out into the other things that the feed mill needs, which would be like purchasing parts and purchasing equipment. You know, we have some things obviously that we're purchasing all the time, you know, greases and oils and things like that that are part of our operations. We certainly have our ongoing preventive maintenance things that we need to do. And then the occasional time, either just because it's time from a capital improvement standpoint or due it to a significant failure, we're replacing relatively large to very large pieces of equipment. How do we plan for similar things here when we know we might have pressures, you know, changes in economic conditions or availability of said of these parts? How do we best situate ourselves in the feed mill to be in the best possible position for significant changes in price or significant changes in availability, not having an outsized impact on our operations?
Yeah, great question. Very good. I think that hopefully this to the audience will open up some ideas too. But one of the things that's a one critical thing, right? Is that one of the things I encourage the team is on those first is on those critical components in your feed mill, Adam. You want to first identify them. Which ones are critical things that if something happens tomorrow, I just can't make feed or I will create a major disruption into the business or into what I do. I will impact that grower or I'm going to impact my the business I'm serving today or those customers. What type of equipment will put me in this type of situation? So creating that critical list of components and understanding what you need to, what type of disruption will create. Once you identify that list, I'll encourage the teams to create an in-house type inventory. You can work with your accounting or anyone in your organization to identify from cost perspective, what is the best option? I can do that. And I can have a good inventory in place with some of those critical parts. As we start living through this situation with trades and tariffs and all those type of things, a lot of those things may become also difficult to get in the next few months. Why? It's because things may be held in ports. It may be things because they haven't agreed or there is a back and forth and don't know what that, how that's going to play. You may want to look into as soon as you can on critical components and things to get in place. But also I encourage people is to look into different options in vendors that are there in the market between the U.S. Okay, so if I am used to buy X vendor today, I'm not referring to the X social network by any means, but I'm just putting an example. If I got a company A that I always buy dice from them, I really encourage you that at this point, you reach out to company B and company C and get options and evaluate yourself what how those prices are comparing to the others. I can tell you there is always, I always tell people, and I always believe on this, there is always a different way to do things in this world. That doesn't mean there is always you got to go to the same person, you got to pay the same price. There is other options. And if you look into these other options and you give it the chance, it will allow you also to, it would allow you not just to have more flexibility in options and your, and your list of vendors, but also will help you to challenge the other single vendor that you always look for it, or that always has been there, that now is just because the tariffs is using that option to say, oh, you know what? It's 25% more expensive now today because this comes from whatever. Okay, the other one may bring a product from a place where it's only getting 10% or may only end up getting 5% as compared to maybe the other one that may get 25 or 30%. So evaluating, understanding that will be the main thing, Adam, when it comes to this situation. I believe that there is going to be some challenging situation as we move forward. Better we understand, better we connect with people. Actually, one of my team members, we were discussing something related to your question about these parts, and man, they're getting very expensive. Actually, the vendor just sent me an updated quote with this much price increase. And I'm like, man, this just happened yesterday, right? Why are they already charging us, right? So maybe because things are still important, they didn't have anything immediately available. Don't know what is the reason, but so I say, you know what? Call them and tell them that you cannot order it anymore. Let's call somebody else. Let's get this price. Let's understand it. And he was like, well, you jump ahead of me. Actually, I was asking you, we need to go and ask somebody else price. So those are things I think that can help us to stay ahead of this ongoing situation.
I think something that you touched on there too, we talk about when we're thinking about like parts inventory, equipment inventory, and we can't have, you know, we can't have a whole new feed mill sitting next door ready to go. So we can't have replacements for everything. but we usually divide those up into kind of the critical, non-critical, and the stock, non-stock kind of items. But one thing I think that we have to be really careful about is that how long ago was that list developed, right? And is something that I said is critical, but it's non-stock because I know the place down the road always has this. You know, I can, this particular motor, I don't need to stock it because I know down the road, you know, my motor shop's always got one of these or a handful of these, we should be fine. But that was the case 5 years ago. Are you still sure it's a case today?
That's a very good point. I'm glad you bring that up because, you know, that's something that I think we all in the feed industry have to live that, especially when you for the first time became the manager of a facility or the first time you take over another facility that was part of your organization, but you may not necessarily were involved. I always call it the first thing you need to do a kind of a housekeeping activity. I say you don't need to worry about efficiency or how I'm running bad or wrong. Focus on understanding every piece of component of that facility and build a plan for the next 90 days on how you're going to make it better. And the first thing I always say people is understand your inventory of not just parts, but also ingredients. And going back to the parts, because it's kind of what you're touching about it, it's always say, let's understand what is your inventory. Let me see that list. Verify, one is very important, that the parts are actually there, that exist, and that actually will work for the equipment, because one is one of the typical mistakes that we have made or I have seen across multiple places. And look, this is not something specific at the location. This is something that I see across the world. I mean, I see it in Europe or Latin America, in certain places. Not everyone, I know a lot of people out there does a great job managing their inventory. But I always encourage people that when you look into those parts, also verify that the part is work for the part that you're saying that is supposed to be working. Because what has happened is maybe 2 years ago, you changed that equipment for something else. And that bearing maybe is listed for pellet mill number one or for cooler number one. And well, you know what happened? That cooler was a brand X and now it's brand B. So that may not work, or maybe it's an upgraded version of the same brand you had before, but this part will not work anymore. That's a very common issue. And I always express the team is always, if you have a large inventory, how you can make it to a manageable amount of parts and that really is the group of parts that you know you're actually going to need or going to put you in a bind. Because as you stated and explained it, there is some parts that you actually could locate locally and that you can source it from other people around. Or some other feed mills that you are familiar with around that also you can share things back and forth with them. That's the only thing, understanding that key part. But very good point, Adam. I'm glad you brought it up because I know that is a typical issue across. And hopefully this podcast maybe spark the idea on the mill manager to say, huh, let me go check my inventory and see how accurate it is.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that happens to all of us, I mean, and look, it happens here in our, you know, very small feed mill at NC State is everything's busy. And so time moves really quickly. And then you think, yeah, you know, I mean, the last time we had to order this, whatever it was only like a year ago. Well, as it turns out, it was actually like 6 years ago. And it just seems not that long ago. And then you reach out to the person that you contact was, and you find that they moved on to a different place. That's not your rep anymore. Or that company that you ordered is no longer that. They got bought by somebody else. You know, and those things happen really quick. And some of them are really, really large. I used to reach out to so-and-so for my bearings and because they were owned by this conglomerate. And now, yes, that bearing company still exists, but they got bought by this other major player. And I'm calling the wrong person and I'm trying to do that at 2 a.m. and that's not working out for me very well. And so it happens so quickly that you don't sometimes realize that some major change has happened that's going to impact you until it's, you know, it's not a time for that to be happening.
That's exactly right. That is always, very popular thing to see, and I'd always get I always face those type of things with multiple places. You know, I always say this is something that we easily forget, and I get it. You know, we as a mail managers, I entirely focus on just making sure to make the fee. We want to keep people safe, and a lot of times those type of things are not necessarily something we worry or we look at on, except until something breaks down and now we need it. That's mostly the only time, right?
That's right. And that's, you know, the other lesson there is to, you know, in all cases, ingredients, parts, everything, you know, have really good suppliers that do a really good job of kind of knowing their customers and keeping them informed and having a pretty good idea what they have and keeping that stuff in stock. You know, the more you have those people kind of that you're working with, you know, and sometimes we know that, you know, hey, maybe sometimes that is a little more expensive, but if it's a little more expensive, but I know I can get it because I know you're going to take care of me, there's a value there.
Absolutely. There is always that. And that's a good point, Adam, because some suppliers will have a lot of parts in place and you can advise them to say, this is my common motors, for example, on bigger motors, or this is my typical gearboxes. Do you normally keep those in stock? And a lot of things, they work with you. In some cases, they will work for you. They will work with you to say, yeah, we will keep it for you. How many you think you may use? And you say one or two. Well, they at least will keep maybe one all the time about it. So that's a good point.
It's time for our famous three.
In our last few minutes here, let's shift one more time on the idea of pricing. And what happens when we start looking at things related to like utilities costs, that, you know, electricity, boiler fuel, in some cases, even actual, you know, diesel fuel for trucks that we're sending down the road. And what are the kind of things that you look at those times as it relates to making sure that you are, you know, if the electricity cost is really high, I don't want to waste any of it. I don't want to waste anything. I probably don't want to waste it anyway, sustainability being what it is. And I always want to have a good bottom line. But when these utilities costs really go up for some reason, what are the things that I have to start doing to make absolutely certain I'm being, you know, as efficient as possible with using those?
There is a couple things. Very good point, Adam. There is a couple things that we need to look. I encourage anyone to look into it. This one of it is that always, as often as possible, sit down with transportation team or your logistics person. And one of it is very important, especially if you are in the business of delivering feed. I always encourage people to sit down with the logistics person, understand your different locations, which places are you serving, if you are a single operation where you may don't have maybe a lot of options, but if you are an operation where you manage two or three different feed mills across in the company you work for, or where you at, or is your own operation, do I am being effective on how am I utilizing my trucking business? Do I making sure that, you know, maybe it makes sense if I can make this feed type at this other feed mill, because maybe I will lose a little bit of efficiency by shifting that feed type or adding that feed type in this feed mill, but I may gonna save significant money on gas, on diesel, because I'm going to be able to get closer to the final destination of that feed. So ingredients, of course, plays another factor of the cost of ingredient, depending on the location, where is that. So understanding and reviewing those different variables makes, you know, will help you to stay competitive when it comes to delivering the feed. But when it comes to the feed meal, and I think that's a great conversation. We probably could spend a lot of time talking about that on efficiency, right? But and I think last time we briefly touched on the difference on how, you know, how efficient we are in the U.S. as we cause a big operation as opposed to Europe that puts a lot of focus to make a pellet and then Latin America, right? But my thoughts always is that, hey, sit down also with production, right? If you give up a little bit of pellet quality in exchange to be more efficient and maximize your facility to run faster, to run as more efficient in, that you can, and being able to maybe shut down a half a day or maybe a day if you are running your equipment to their max capacity. Reviewing that, understanding with your nutrition team, your production team, hey, can you do a little bit better job adjusting feeders? Hey, what are the challenges maybe I can have if I just lose a point or 2 points on pellet quality to in exchange for me to be able to maybe shut down half a day or a full day of operation? One of it is that, hey, cost of energy is expensive and it's going to get more expensive. I don't think there's going to be a way that's going to get any cheaper anytime soon, right? Gas is already expensive too. So those type of things, if you put it on the table and you look to those different options, it might be something that makes a lot of sense to you to say, hey, let's focus on how effective I can run. Let's focus with transportation if I can make a specific certain feed type during these dates so I can run that meal longer and maximize my throughput as much as possible. And then this other feed type, this other day, that would allow me to possibly have a little bit more efficient operation than where currently I am running, right? Because at the end of the day, every time you have a facility operational, doesn't matter if you're running 30 tons an hour or you're running 100 tons an hour, right? You are, as you know, spending a lot of money because not just labor, the gas, the lights that are on in that facility, the boiler that is running or the equipment that is running. I am a person that every time I see equipment running in idle, I cannot, otherwise it's a need because it needs to stay on idle. But when it comes to pellet mills, hammer mills, I will encourage them, look, with this equipment, every time it's not doing anything, it's just costing you more, right? It's not making you anything, but it's just costing you and adding to your inefficiency, into your high cost of running. So understanding those variables, Adam, understanding as well the factors that we just discussed with your production team, your nutrition team, how you can make things more effective and more efficient, it's going to play an important, I think, a key part in the future as we move forward, independent, you know, where we're all going to end up with all these pressure situations, economic or the world, you know, economics that are happening right now. Hope that makes a little bit of sense. At least it's the way I perceive it, but your input is as well appreciated.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's true looking at it from like those utility costs. We've already talked about it on the equipment side and on the ingredient side. I think the other big take home message here is if you want to figure out how to be more efficient, just like with those other things, the time to figure those things out is when you're not under pressure. Figure those things out and always be working on it. Just always be working on it means that when the pressure comes, you'll already be prepared and say, okay, now we've got a pressure situation. We're always trying to be more efficient. And that doesn't necessarily mean we're as efficient as we can be, because at this point, maybe you use pellet quality as an example. At this point, as we look at the numbers, we're fine. We got enough time. The money is what it is. We'll go ahead and take the other couple points of pellet quality, help the feed conversion a little bit. It's worth it right now. But I already know that if this pressure comes, I already know what I need to do. I've already figured that out. I don't want to be figuring it out on the fly.
And very quick, I think that also if you have a research team or a team that it can help you to evaluate some potential consequences of a decision made, like, hey, maybe, you know, we are grinding. We always want to grind at, let's put a number out there, right? 400 microns, right? I always have a 400 microns. Maybe we can grind 450. And maybe there is not necessarily a big impact on this. And you know what? You run your hammer more efficient. You spend a little bit less energy. But look, let's talk to nutrition. Let's talk to production and research. Can they review that if there is any impact out there in the business? If it is, of course, that is not right. You got to do what you got to do. It makes a lot of more sense. But utilizing those resources is what normally helps and allow you to properly make decisions as we move forward.
And in that example, it's, hey, yeah, we'll always shoot for that 400 microns. But we already know what's going to happen when in for some reason we have to go to 450. Everybody can be prepared. We already know what that's going to do downstream, and we've got a plan for it, and we can all be fully informed.
Absolutely. Great conversation. Yep.
As always, we appreciate our conversation. I've enjoyed it when we do it. I have a feeling we will, have you on again sometime in the future. Certainly appreciate your time. My guest today, again, has been Cesar Menendez. Cesar is the feed manufacturing and bakery operations director for Smithfield Hog Production. Appreciate your time today, Cesar.
Hey, thank you. I'm really enjoying. I appreciate it. I hope that it was a good conversation and look forward for the next one. Thank you, man.
Again, my name is Adam Fahrenholz, coming to you from North Carolina State University in the Animal Food Manufacturing Program here. On behalf of Wisenetics, thanks for listening. Please like, subscribe, make comments, send us suggestions of things you'd like to hear more about. We're always interested in those. And until then, we will talk to you the next time.
Do you feel overwhelmed with mundane tasks that eat up your valuable time? It's time to reclaim your schedule and focus on what truly matters. Get your time back with elite remote talent without a time zone hassle. Delegate $10 an hour tasks to focus on your $1,000 an hour tasks. Schedule your free strategy call at wisevas.io.